2 years ago, much of the Gulf Coast lay shattered by hurricane winds, and most of the city of New Orleans was underwater. As we mark the anniversary, we've spoken this week with a New Orleans doctor and an historian of the storm. Today, writer, actor, director Harry Shearer, a part-time resident of New Orleans for 11 years and vice chairman of the Friends of New Orleans. He wrote an op-ed for the San Francisco Chronicle entitled Bootstrap City Rising about the misconceptions that he says impede reconstruction. And we want to hear from you. What holds up reconstruction in New Orleans? Is there Katrina fatigue? If you're from New Orleans, if you work there as a volunteer or visited as a tourist, the number is 800-989-8255. Our email address is talk@npr.org. Harry Shearer is best known as a cast member of The Simpsons. He does the voices of Mr. Burns and Ned Flanders, to name just two. And you may have also seen him at the movies in Spinal Tap and Best in Show. He joins us from the studios of Audio Works in New Orleans. Nice to have you on the program today.
Thanks, Neil. Nice to be here.
And the biggest misperception you wrote about is that Katrina was the biggest natural disaster in American history.
It's repeated ad nauseum in the national media. It's even repeated by public officials. Nancy Pelosi said it recently. And it's the result of a conflation of two different events. What happened on the Mississippi Gulf Coast was a hurricane disaster when Katrina came ashore as a Category 4 and slammed into the Mississippi Gulf Coast. And you can see the difference between the two types of damage. And then, of course, 100 miles later, Katrina was only a strong Category 1 or a weak Category 2. But the surge that it generated overwhelmed the improperly built levee and flood wall system built over the last 40 years under both parties by the Corps of Engineers flooding New Orleans. You look at Mississippi and the coastal towns were flattened. You look at New Orleans and the buildings in the lower ninth, for example, to take the most egregious example, were slammed into each other and cars were placed on top of them. But the buildings in some form still stood. They were wrecked, but they were vertical or they were not horizontal. Yeah, they were not horizontal. So you had a visual clue as to the difference. But the national media have repeated the story so much that Katrina's wrath, Katrina's disaster, that the general public, I think, thinks this was a hurricane problem, not a fault of the federal government building a system designed and advertised to protect us, which failed its advertised specifics.
And how does that misperception lead to what some are describing as Katrina fatigue?
Well, I think you know, the natural disasters occur all over the world. The federal government basically having a major hand in the destruction or the almost destruction of a major American city happens, we should hope, once in a lifetime. So on the scale of commonness of events, this is a far more remarkable, we should pray and hope, mm-hmm. event than another natural disaster, as horrible as those are. And, of course, it requires a much greater level of political will to repair. It's going to cost billions of dollars, whereas if it's just cleaning up after a natural disaster, we're done. Mm. That was the sound of my hands.
Sounds of two hands clapping there, yes.
Sound of two hands wiping each other off after a job well done. So the lack of political will, the supposed Katrina fatigue, I would trace directly to the misperception of what the event in New Orleans actually was.
And our misperception maybe here in Washington, D.C., that this is many billions have been spent already. It's not as if the federal government, the state government, and local government have not provided money, but that from now on out, as you describe it, the people of New Orleans are lining up for a handout.
Well, that's I believe, what is characterized as the stance of New Orleanians, as whiny beggars looking for a handout from Washington, when in fact, when you come here and you live here and you walk around this place, what you see in fact is a city of bootstraps, as I described it. People are always lecturing us, you know, pull yourselves up by your bootstraps. That's all there is here is bootstraps. The aid money, I was just talking to a friend of mine in this studio who's waiting for his road home money, which is clogged in a pipeline of unimaginable Kafkaesque complexity. So what happens? People are relying on their own resources or on the wonderful volunteers who remind us that we're still living in a country with the word United in its name, or, you know, God forbid, an insurance company pays off. And you are seeing the recovery, what's described as a ground-up recovery. It's a city of bootstraps right now. Nothing is happening because of policy. Everything is happening because of the will and the grit of New Orleanians.
The familiar voice of Harry Shearer joining us today from New Orleans. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And if you'd care to join the conversation, our number is 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. And let's turn to Amos. Amos is calling us from Iowa City.
Yes, how are you doing?
Very well, thanks.
Right. You know, I agree that the building of New Orleans, the rebuilding of New Orleans, is extremely slow, extremely retarded. You know, in other words, what we got retarded, it's about as slow as Miami Homestead was after Hurricane Andrew back in 1992. You see, Hurricane Katrina was only a Category 2 when the storm slashed into New Orleans, but how did the damage go up to at least $81 million, at most $93 billion to $100 billion?
Mm-hmm.
All right, can you tell me about that?
Well, because it wasn't a hurricane that damaged New Orleans. It was the more than 50 breaches in the federal levee system that was built here since the late 1960s that unleashed, unimaginable torrents of water into neighborhoods starting as early as 5:30 in the morning of Monday, the Katrina day. People in the lower Ninth Ward were awakened to find an 18-foot-high wall of water rushing at them from three or four breaches along the Industrial Canal. These were works built by the United States Army Corps of Engineers. They were advertised to protect us for a Category 3 hurricane, and they failed. And even the United States Army Corps of Engineers in its own report has admitted catastrophic design and construction flaws. Those are mistakes we as American taxpayers paid for.
And let's turn now to, this is Carol. Carol with us from Binghamton, New York.
Hello.
Hi.
I just wanted to say that I was in New Orleans as a tourist. Actually, I was there on a business trip, and the locals were begging us and pleading us and even offering rides to the people that were in attendance at the conference to go out and visit the Lower Ninth Ward and the devastated areas, because there was so little being done by both the local and federal government that their hope was that the tourists would go home and spread the word about what was happening and put pressure on the government to actually make something happen.
And, Carol, did you go?
We did, as a matter of fact, and it was, I don't even know the words to say it. It was so devastated that the group of people I was with, there were no comments. No one said a thing. It was the quietest ride I'd ever been on.
Yeah, I've been on many of those rides with friends and also by myself just to remind myself of what's going on and what's not going on in the city. I think that, there are so many things that people outside don't really understand. The Lower Ninth Ward, for example, has been held up as this symbol of the devastation. And it certainly is one of the loci of it. But right next door in St. Bernard Parish, that was a suburban area. I think 99% of the housing in that area was destroyed by the floods. The difference being that St. Bernard was largely white, Lower Nine is largely black. And they got different portrayals in the national media because I think the national media hopped on this as a racial story. It's not a racial story. This disaster was an equal opportunity destroyer.
Carol, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And Harry Shearer, we mentioned at the beginning of this interview that you're a part-time resident of New Orleans for 11 years now. What brought you to the city and why you decided to become an advocate for it?
You know, this is a story that you hear repeated over and over again, so I'm one of the multitude. I came here and I fell in love with the place. And every time I'm not here, I'm thinking, I know there's good reason why I'm where I am at the moment, but why am I not in New Orleans? So the time came when my wife and I just looked at each other and said, let's get a place. And as far as advocacy, I am fortunate enough to live in a location that was not flooded. And it just seemed obvious to me that having the energy left over, because I wasn't having to gut my house and wait for the insurance guy and go through the road home thing and wait for the phone people and wait for the water to come back on, I could use that energy to help spread the word about what's happening here and try to get some understanding and assistance for the people who are going through all of that.
Well, Harry Shearer, thanks very much for being with us today. And congratulations on the great success of the Simpsons movie.
Thanks very much.
Harry Shearer, writer, actor, and director. We know him from movies like Spinal Tap and as the voice of Mr. Burns and Ned Flanders. As we mentioned, a part-time resident of New Orleans for 11 years, vice chairman of the Friends of New Orleans. Ira Flatow is here tomorrow with Science Friday. We'll talk to you again on Monday. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.